speaking about things they've seen on the TV, speaking about things insensibly. They're watching rubbish show so that you don't have to. Then they'll watch another. They'll watch with mothers. Okay.
Hello, listeners, and welcome to podcast number 52 from Watch With Mothers. We're here to deliver the news, and I'm here this week, once again, with Napoleon Cockapart. Hello.
Hello there. That was very sinister, that the way you said Watch With Mothers. Watch With Mothers. Ugh. Is it Halloween?
No, but it's not far away, is it? We're getting close to October.
We are indeed. The month of your birth.
It is the very day of my birth, if any listeners, of which I'm sure there are thousands, would like to send me any presents.
You think that's going to happen?
Unlikely. How are you?
I'm fine, thanks very much. As everybody knows, you were born in Bethlehem. If I remember rightly, you were visited by three wise men and three shepherds. And your father was a carpenter.
You're thinking of someone else,
I think. Right. Sorry, I've got you mixed up with Jesus. So, yeah, I'm fine. Thanks very much. How are you?
I'm all right. I'm a little bit concerned about your toe.
Oh, well, yes, a bit of a status update. My toe still is broken. I'm now into week three of the broken toe. And I am assured by the National Health Service that I've got between 4 and 6 weeks to go before it's fine. I'm still hobbling about a bit. But it's getting there, you know. So anybody concerned, anybody who was worried, I know there won't be, but if there were, you know, yeah, I'm on the mend, as it were.
Well, you're going to need to speed up that process, I presume, a fair bit of calcium. So I would, if I were you, invest in some dairy, some cheese, some ham. Ham's not dairy,
ham's
cheese,
not
milk.
Dairy? When was ham dairy?
No, I made a mistake. I corrected myself. Cheese, milk, eggs, broccoli.
Beef.
Broccoli is full of calcium, though, isn't it?
Well, I don't like broccoli.
Why do you not like it? Are you 12 years old?
What do you mean am I 12 years old? No, yeah, I just don't like broccoli. I bet you any money there's lots of things in the world that you don't like eating. Let me have a think. Do you like eating dog dirt?
I've never tried, actually. I'll give it a go.
What are you, 12?
So, EastEnders, have you
EastEnders, yes. I was watching EastEnders the other day. I didn't see yesterday's, but I saw the momentous episode on Monday where Lauren returned to the square.
Yes, and I don't know, there was something different about it.
There was, wasn't there? Her hair was slightly different, as was, actually, now I come to think about it, her face, her body, and her personality.
Yeah, I wasn't that annoyed by the old Lauren. I thought she was a pretty decent young actress.
Oh, so did I. I mean, whoever's taken over EastEnders has decided to cull the children, haven't they? Ben's being replaced, I think, by a harder, nastier Ben.
Yes, a tattooed Ben, I believe.
That's right. Yeah, Lucy is being replaced because wasn't the actress a bit of a goer? She was a bit of a wild child.
She had a few boozy nights out in that London, I believe. But the one that took us all by surprise was this week.
Was Lauren, yes, when a completely different actress, a slightly sexier, older actress, walked back into Max's life, just kind of took us aback a bit. It was a bit of a Neighbours trick, wasn't it? Neighbours is always doing this.
I think you're on dangerous ground, even implying that she's sexy.
Oh, God, how old is she? She's not street legal.
Well, you're implying that the early edition you assessed for sexiness.
I didn't, no. I didn't assess her for sexiness. However, you can't not assess what is clearly an 18-year-old woman, probably doing the Whitney trick of playing a 16-year-old. You can't not assess her for sexiness.
She actually comes across more like a sort of a 22-year-old receptionist.
Well, I can see her. I can see her as Doctor Who's new assistant.
Yeah, she's probably not a good enough actress from what we've seen so far, though.
Well, I don't know. I mean, do you need to be a good actress to be in Doctor Who?
Two words, Billy Piper.
She's not a good actress.
Is she not?
No. Good actresses are your Maggie Smiths.
She's a bit old to play Doctor Who's assistant.
Well,
though.
I don't know. Judi Dench, she could make a decent Doctor Who's assistant.
She wouldn't be very good as Lauren in EastEnders, though, would she?
Well, all right, you be Doctor Who.
Well, I've never really watched an episode of Doctor Who.
Well,
what do
yeah,
I do?
You know how it goes. What does Who do? Well, he fights Darth Vader, doesn't he, and Flash Gordon.
All right, have I got a lightsaber?
Yeah, you've got a lightsaber. So you're Doctor Who, you've got your lightsaber, you're in front of Flash Gordon, Ming the Merciless. Right. Yeah, you're there.
Is Maggie Smith with me?
No, I'm Dame Judi Dench.
All right, Judy.
Right, so you say something to me Doctor Who-like. Oh, so I'll take what you can say. You can say, oh, watch out, Dame Judi Dench. Here's Darth Vader stroke Ming the Merciless. Say that to me, but in Doctor Who's voice.
All right, come along, Judy. Just out, yeah, step out of the TARDIS.
That's Doctor Who's voice, is it? That's your voice.
How does he talk?
Well, he talks like that, doesn't he, Doctor Who? All right, Judy, come on, out of the TARDIS. Oh, look, there's Darth Vader, so you better watch out.
OK, Flower!
Watching TV in our pants. Get out the mini chanders. It's Watch With Mothers.
You didn't do your itinerary.
What, just now, you mean?
Yeah, you were supposed to do an itinerary in the introduction. You didn't do one because I was too busy talking about Doctor Who.
Yes, I think we should start doing that at the top of each show. Talk about what news stories we're going to be talking about this week. So I've written up an itinerary. Shall I fetch it?
So this is, I suppose, a bit like the bit at the beginning of the news, where they tell you what's coming up on the news by giving you a tiny little snippet of the news that you're about to hear.
Yeah, perhaps you could do a bong between each.
Okay, shall I do the ITN music while you're getting your itinerary?
Can you do BBC instead? It's a bit more highbrow.
Well, to be honest, I'd prefer the ITV music because I can't remember the BBC one.
Okay, I'll shuffle my papers.
Right, you shuffle. Already, 3, 2, 1. Now, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for the ITN News with Alistair Burnett. Ba 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 da 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 da. This is the news. Da 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 da. That's quite good, that.
This week on the Watch With Mothers podcast.
Bong.
The X Factor hopefuls. We take a look and slice and digest. Well, that sounds like cannibalism.
Cannibalism.
Bong.
Bong!
We also take a look at other stuff like The Apprentice, which is coming back. We'll have a
Bong.
Look at all the... We'll also be looking at Katy Perry's boobs.
Bong!
I think that went quite well, didn't it?
Right, lovely. So what's the first item on the agenda, Alistair Burnett?
Well, we're going to have to go with the populist option, which is The X Factor, which I believe you're keenly watching this time around.
Of course, yes. I've seen every episode of The X Factor. Well, at least I did see every episode from the first series, which was about 5 years ago.
Right.
Is Steve still topping the charts?
Well, Brookstein?
Yeah, Steve Brookstein. How's he doing?
I believe he's on his fifth album now, and apparently...
Right,
it's kind of his Sergeant Pepper phase, I believe.
Fair do. So I assume it's at the top of the hit parade.
Oh, yeah. Platinum, double.
Lovely jubbly. Well, I'll have to go out and buy another one of his albums. His last one was fantastic.
Yes.
What are you doing?
Sorry, I was just moving things a bit. Is that all right?
Right, OK. So let's move on to The X Factor. So, no, I haven't watched any of The X Factor at all, apart from the clips you sent me off of YouTube's just this morning.
Right, so out of those that you've seen, who's your favourite from the groups category?
What, from the groups category? Well, why? That would have to be Twem.
It's a good name, isn't it, Twem?
Yeah, I don't know what it means, obviously. I have got some notes here. Shall I read them?
Well, first let's think about Twem. Does it mean twin? Twins?
Does it mean twerps? Is it a cross between twerps and them? Then twerps?
Them twerp twins.
They do look like twerps.
Them twerp twins.
Them twerp twins. Is that what twem means? Is it an abbreviation of them twerp twin? Twin? Twem? Them twerp? Yeah, actually, if you try to say them twerp twins enough, you end up with twem.
So we've decoded that.
Lovely.
On with your notes, yes.
Right, OK, I've written, remember when real men appeared on the telly? Not these whatever these are. Bring back Dennis Waterman, and I've underlined that.
Well, Dennis Waterman is a particularly good choice because he can sing, can't he?
He can sing. Dennis Waterman has sang many songs. He sang the theme tune to Minder. Do you remember how that went?
Oh, it could be so good for you.
Don't want me to. I could do anything for you. I'll be so good for you. Bum, 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 bum. I used to love Minder.
It was all right. I think we've exhausted Twem. I don't really know much about them, except they irritate me.
Yeah, they're just irritating. I didn't even realise they were twins.
They look exactly the same.
Well, I know they look exactly the same, but it didn't actually occur to me. I just thought they were two men who looked exactly the same as one another. It's only now you said they were twins. It's twigged. Oh, they're twins. I didn't realise they were twins. I just thought they just looked exactly the same as one another.
So two men of the same age who look exactly the same as each other, it doesn't immediately occur to you that they might be twems?
No, only right now, after you said they were twins, has it all clicked into place. I did admittedly think, that's weird, they look exactly the same as one another. Like infantile Dom Jollies.
Well, to be fair, I don't think the French have many twins, do they?
Don't they? Why don't the French have twins?
I don't know, they just don't. Right, on to the boys.
OK, the boys. My favourite, of course, was Niccolò.
Oh, what a man, what a man, what a man, what a mighty good man.
Apparently so. Niccolò's from Italy, of course. The land of chocolates.
And what else do they do?
Right, in Italy, you've got your spaghetti hoops.
Organised crime.
Organised crime. Holmes ravioli.
Scooters.
Scooters. Sunglasses.
Brill cream.
Cream. Whipped cream.
No, Brill cream for your hairs.
Brill cream. And you've got that other one.
Yeah, what do you make of Niccolò?
Right, I've written apparently a man. Apparently. Switched off the clip before this little prick could butcher life on Mars. However, you then made me watch it. So I unfortunately have now witnessed Niccolò butcher life on Mars. And by God, he did butcher it.
Well, you can't better Bowie, can you?
You can better Bowie.
Who's bettered Bowie?
Who's bettered Bowie? I would say that Kiss have bettered Bowie.
What, have they released a Bowie song?
Oh, what? You can't better Bowie in singing Bowie songs, you mean?
You can't cover Bowie and be better than Bowie.
Oh, sorry, I thought you meant there's nobody better than David Bowie at anything.
Oh, no, there's some footballers who are definitely better at football than Bowie.
Yeah, yeah, there are, actually, thinking about it. Your Bobby Moore, he was better at football.
Yeah.
Your Nobby Styles, he was better.
Perry Groves.
Yep. Your Steve Perryman.
Simo.
This is just listing footballers. This isn't going to be of any interest to women.
The over-28s?
The over-28s. Moving on to the over-28s, my favourite was, of course, Wagner!
Yes, this is the one who is an ex-PE teacher, and I can't imagine how he possibly found a job looking like that.
I know, he is a bit of a strange-looking character. There's a few people in who aren't watching this rubbish. He's an eccentric-looking character, isn't he? He's got long, grey hair, like a hippie from off of the 60s. In fact, he looks a bit like, what's his name? David Crosby.
And Bill Bailey.
And Bill Bailey. So, yeah, I mean, if David Crosby and Bill Bailey had sex, they'd end up with Wagner von Bastardenstein, or whatever his name is. What is his name?
Well, they wouldn't, would they?
Right, well, I've written a musical powerhouse, clearly. Not sure about his previous job as a PE teacher, because they're usually paedophiles.
Ooh. Ooh, you've gone too far.
Well, why? OK, in our experience of PE teachers, not naming any names, you've got to admit, they're slightly suspicious characters.
Yeah, they're slightly suspicious.
All right, and the point is, as well, if you are a PE teacher and you're offended by that, then you're clearly not one of them, are you? So you've no reason to be offended.
Well, that makes sense.
Got us out of that.
You did very well. Shall we move on to the girls?
To the girls. Well, I think the girl should really be you, to be honest with you. You know, she's your favourite, isn't she?
Well, I have. I've basically been learning her songs because I'm such a super fan already.
Of
Cher Lloyd.
Now, you go, you see, I prefer the prostitute.
Which one's what? Chloe Maffia's?
Yeah, the one that says like a lot. Because I really like that when they say like a lot.
She's from Wakefield.
No, well, you know, nothing wrong with Wakefield. Bit of a shithole.
Anyway, I've prepared a rap. Would you like to hear
it? Okay, I'm ready. I'm listening.
Michael Jordan, Tiger Woods. I'm trying to get that old bra. I don't know what that bit means.
The old bra?
Yeah, I'm trying to get that old bra.
Maybe she wants an old bra. Has she got old boobs?
I hear Jerusalem. The bells are ring-a-dinging. Roman cavalry. Oh, my choirs are singing. Be my mirror, my sword and my shield. Missionaries in a foreign field. Now, she claims she wrote that.
To be fair, a bit of it was written by William Blake. Another bit was written by that war one. What's his name? Rupert Brooke.
Right, so she's claiming she wrote this rap and it's basically the work of great British poets.
It certainly is, yeah. Well, certainly Jerusalem is. And there is a corner of some foreign field is, of course, Rupert Brooke. So she didn't write those bits, did she? So, I mean, if she's to claim authorship of this rap, really, it should be co-authorship.
I reckon she might have written the bit where she says, Michael Jordan, Tiger Woods, I'm trying to get a hold of my old bra.
That certainly doesn't sound like one of Rupert Brooke's, I have to say. Or Siegfried Sassoon, that old misery.
Or Wilfred Owen, for that matter.
Or Wilfred, another one, that old misery.
Why didn't she just check the laundry?
What, see if there was an old bra in there?
Well, she seems to be asking American sportsmen, when clearly she should just be looking around her flat.
Well, maybe you're tight there. Don't worry, Sharon. I'm sorry, I'm just going to have to interrupt the podcast to say to my other half that she's trying desperately not to cough and is clearly, you know, in quite some distress here. So by all means, cough away, because really, the quality of this isn't good enough for... You know what I mean? Anyway, yeah. Sorry about that. What were you saying?
No, permission granted to your other half. It's not a problem.
Exactly. Yeah, there we are. So cough away. Enjoy yourself.
Yes, yeah, so Shirt Lloyd, the tabloids are worried about her frail state of mind at the moment, apparently.
Really? Why has she got a frail sense of state of mind? Has she got a mind?
Well, she's very thin. I'm not sure if that's related to it, but...
Girls are thin.
All girls are thin, is that
No, true? Not all girls, but I mean, there are, you know, you've seen yourself, there are quite a lot of thin girls out there.
Well, I believe some of them aspire to be thin, yeah.
They need to muscle up with potatoes.
Yeah, they need to do what us chaps do and eat loads of pizzas.
Well, I eat loads of potatoes. I can eat vast quantities of potato and not once do I ever feel ill.
What's the most amount of...
The most amount of potatoes I've ever eaten?
Yes, please.
Is that what you were going to say?
It is, yes.
I've eaten 13 jacket potatoes in one sitting.
No, that's a lie.
That's not a lie. Admittedly, I did have to go to accident and emergency afterwards.
Were they new potatoes?
No, they weren't new potatoes. You can't have jacket potatoes as new potatoes. They were big, manly jacket potatoes from off of the oven.
New potatoes are technically jacket potatoes, so right, I believe you're trying to swindle.
Right, have you ever oven roasted a new potato and then put butter on it and beans and tuna and cheese?
I could just say yes, I have. Yes.
You have?
Yes, I have done that. I have 13 of them. 14 of them.
Well, you've suddenly replaced John Rambo as my hero.
Hello there. You're listening to the smooth and groovy signs of Watch With Mugs. Here to entertain you in your ears... as you go to sleep, or perhaps masturbate into a cup. Watch With Mothers.
So, sorry, I interrupted before you managed to finish your Cher Lloyd description.
I'd just like to say that Cher Lloyd appears to have a loaf of bread made from hair attached to her head. That's all I wanted to say.
Right, next on the itinerary is The Apprentice is back. Hooray!
Thank God for that! Yes, all that political nonsense that we had to go through at the start of the year with the general election, which delayed the proper apprentice from going on the TV, is now over and done with. Lord Sugar, or Sir Alan, as he's more commonly known, is back doing what he does best and not doing all this political advisement nonsense that kept this off our screens.
Well, he didn't actually advise very well, by all accounts, because they lost the election, and it's all down to him.
Exactly, and we were denied The Apprentice in its usual slot, which is over the summer, isn't it?
Yeah, it all feels a bit out of place now, because we're going to have X Factor Live Finals going down at the same time as The Apprentice, and I'm going to be terribly confused.
It's all going to go very, very strange over the next few weeks, but I think we'll get used to it. I think we'll get used to this strange new time that The Apprentice is on. And obviously now they've been released, haven't they? The candidates have been released. We know who they are.
Yes, the shackles are off and they're all sort of running around in their little apprentice pen, ready for the challenge.
So what we're going to do today is we're going to run through the apprentice candidates, aren't we? They're mainly Burks, aren't they? Twerps.
As usual. Are we going to do them all or are we going to pick out favourites?
I think, no, we should do them all. I've written notes on every single one of them, so we can skim through them quite easily. If I announce who they are, and then I'll say my little thing about what I've written about them, and then we can discuss.
Okay, let's start off with the first then.
Well, should we do the music? And
I'm doing the backing tuba.
All right, you're doing the. Right, so start again.
No need really.
Okay, 3, 2, 1. You get the general idea. Right, number one, Alex Epstein. I've written, I am a maverick, says Alex. No, Alex, you're not a maverick. Maverick was James Garner. You, Alex, are a Burke. Discuss.
Mel Gibson was Maverick, wasn't he?
No, Mel Gibson was Maverick in the film Maverick. The actual Maverick was James Garner.
Right, well, anyway, Alex Epstein isn't a maverick, neither is Alan Sugar. He also said Alan Sugar's a maverick.
Should we define maverick?
Well, it's someone who is either in the film Maverick with Mel Gibson or someone who is in the TV series Maverick.
Which was James Garner.
Yes.
There's also another definition, which is a go-getter, a man who plays by his own rules, a man who ploughs his own furrow.
Right, well, that's not really someone in a city business shit suit who turns up for work early every day, is it?
No, and goes on a game show in this, it's, what, fourth series or fifth series?
No, he's not.
He's not really cutting a swathe. He's not building himself an individual pathway through the woods, is he?
He also sweats a lot in interviews, which I don't think a maverick would do.
No, exactly. So your chances? Alex's
zero.
Chances, rather?
I'd say zero.
Zero. Right, I've written that down. Lovely. We move on to Chris Bates. Here we go. Chris, according to himself, is extremely funny. That's a big claim, Chris. We live in a land of extremely funny people, and it remains to be seen if you're in the same league as Little and Large, Keith Harrison Orville, or Jim Nick Davidson. Discuss.
Well, for a start, he looks like a Premiership footballer. That is the haircut of a goalkeeper for a Northern Premiership football club.
They all do, though, nowadays, don't they?
Yes, true enough. I hated Chris Bates.
You hated Chris Bates?
Yes, he had the cold eyes of a killer. He's clearly killed and will kill again. I just didn't like him.
Allegedly?
In my mind, you can sue me, Chris, if you fancy it.
Okay, well, I mean, from my point of view, don't sue me, Chris. You look like you've got a fair bit of cash, it's allegedly from me.
I'd just like to point out that Chris Bates hasn't killed anyone and is unlikely to kill anyone in the future.
Lovely jubbly. So your chances of Chris winning The Apprentice?
Well, if it was on humour alone, it would be 10 out of 10, but...
Well, yes, because he's extremely funny. He says so himself.
But unfortunately, this is the hard-nosed business world. I give him 0 out of 10.
Yes, there's no room in business for comedians, Chris.
Yeah, save your funnies for another show.
Exactly. So what was that score?
0.
Oh, blimey. OK, we move on to Christopher Farrell. I've written a marine from up north. Knows his onions, this lad. The series winner.
What? Series winner?
The series winner! Unless he's like that other fellow that was in the army and he turns out to be a bit of a twerp.
Now, look, I've got no beef with Her Majesty's forces.
Do you remember their sausages?
This is what I was going to say, actually. In the first episode.
Carry on.
I'm talking about the first episode of this series, not the past misdemeanour with a sausage.
Right.
They have to cook sausages in the street and then sell them to people.
What, in the first episode of the new series?
Yes.
But they've already cooked sausages on The Apprentice.
Well, they've already sold things on The Apprentice many times.
Yeah, but they're running out of ideas if this is the second time a sausage has reared its ugly head.
Yeah, well, I see your point. We're at the point of sausage saturation. But the point is...
The sausage could break The Apprentice's back.
It could. It could be the final sausage that breaks
The Apprentice's. Well, I'm crossing out the series winner.
What's that?
I'm crossing out the series winner based entirely on this sausage thing.
Well, what I want to know is how can picking off the enemy from a distance help when you're trying to sell a sausage to someone in the street?
Well, say you're a soldier? Are you there?
Yeah.
Say you're a soldier, you're out in Afghanistan, and there's the Taliban over there. They're quite a way away, don't worry, you're not going to get killed.
Right.
Yeah, you've got a gun, but it fires sausages.
I've got a sausage-firing gun.
Yes. So that, in that way, yes, because you've had experience of firing sausages at the Taliban, you would have experience of selling sausages to people in London.
I imagine a sausage-firing gun would actually quite upset a member of the Taliban.
Well, it would, because it's pork, isn't it? They're Muslims.
Yeah.
Ah, so you see, so he's got that to his advantage. He's an expert on bamboozling people with sausages. I'd give him a 4.
Yeah, I'd give him, I think I'll match that and give him a 4.
Right, OK, let's move on to Dan Harris. He's scared of women. Grow a backbone, Dan. There you go, that's all I've written.
Well, it's nice to see a man admitting that, but it's not nice to see a man wearing expensive sunglasses on the top of his head.
No, it's not sunny, is it? I mean, I've noticed this craze for wearing sunglasses, especially amongst the females out there, who wander around in these massive sunglasses, like Michael Caine's 1970s glasses, but in sunglasses form, or fly's eyes, and it's not even sunny outside. Why are you wearing sunglasses?
Yeah, he does that. But he's also very empathetic, isn't he?
Yeah, well, I don't like that trait in a man, to be honest. I don't think men need empathy. It's not in our nature to be empathy, have that thing you just mentioned there.
Well, you say that, but are you feeling all right?
I'm feeling fine, but... I see what you've done there.
I've been empathetic, haven't I?
So what's that then, a 5?
No, let's give him a 4 again.
Let's give him a 4. OK, let's move on to Jamie Lester, a big believer in you get what you get, what you get what you are, what you give, I'd say out in round 1.
He can't speak, can he?
He can't speak, yeah. To fill people in, his audition started like that. You know, usually with these auditions, I mean, if me and you were going on there, I don't know, I'd go, I'm into blue sky thinking. I like to think outside of the box. In business, there are only winners, there are no losers. And I'm a winner. I'm like a tiger or a lion or one of those other big things that eats other animals because I eat things in business. Do you see? Do you see, Alan Sugar? I'm not even calling you Sir Alan because I'm a lion and you're not a lion, even though you are a lion. What would you do?
Well, I would probably... hang on, let me ready myself.
Get your business head on. Imagine yourself in a suit.
Right, just say rolling when we're rolling.
3, 2, 1, rolling.
In business, you give what... you got to give... I've given what I've got on... Give.
Yeah, out in round 1, I give him a 0.
Okay.
Do you concur?
No, I agree, 0. I wouldn't have got through there, I don't know.
Yeah, rubbish, but I would. Did you like my one?
Yeah, I think you wouldn't even have had to have appeared on the show. You'd have just got Sugar's job straight away.
Exactly, yeah, 100 grand and a BMW, bang. The moment I had a go at him, and when he starts this nonsense, Alan Sugar, I pull myself up by my bootstraps, blah, blah, blah. I just say, shut up, Sugar, I've heard that before. Right, let's move on. Joanna Riley, our first lady. Here we go. Alumni of the School of Hard Knocks, a graduate of the University of Life, and with a master's degree in pulling herself up by her bootstraps, not taking no for an answer, and getting stuck in. Alan will like her. The others will be miffed she's not got a business degree, and they'll try and get rid of her. Not a chance.
So what, are you saying the others will not like her?
Yes, I think that usually what happens in The Apprentice is they're all quite snobby, aren't they?
Yes.
Yeah, they're all very snobby. They've all got these fancy-ass degrees. And then somebody, usually from up north, turns up, who they take the piss out of for being from up north, or that they haven't got a degree and all the rest of it. And I worry that Joanna, even though she's a successful business lady who's pulled herself up by bootstraps, etc., will fall into that category and they'll all be horrible to her.
No, I entirely agree. I like Joanna, and I saw potential in her for the win. And so long as she can keep her head together while the others are all doubtlessly being bastards to her, which is bound to happen, we've got a potential winner here.
I think we may have. I'm going to go for at least an 8.
Oh, I would go more cautiously for a 7, but okay. Yeah, well, put it down as an 8 if you want.
What's in between 7 and 8?
7 or 8. Is it... 12. I think it's 12.
Okay, we'll go for a 12. Lovely. Should we split this in 2?
Yeah, I was going to say we can do that. I'm keeping count, so we can carry on for the moment.
Oh, can we?
Yeah, don't worry, I'll just cut this bit out.
Oh, you'll cut that bit out, okay. Right, we'll move on to... here we go. Right, we move on to Joy Stefanicki. That's a hell of a name, isn't it?
How'd you say that again?
Joy Stefanicki.
Joy Stefanicki.
Joy Stefanicki, to which I've written, the annoying bubbly one won't win.
Well, she'll get on with Aris, because he's scared of women too.
Oh, yes, exactly. Yeah, he's scared. But the problem is she... I mean, to fill people in again, the apprentice always has a big, curly-haired, annoying, bubbly one, don't they?
Are you talking about me again?
No, not you. You're not on the apprentice this year.
I suppose I'm not very bubbly either.
You're not particularly bubbly, no, exactly. But they always have a large, bubbly female with masses of curly hair, and this year Joy is that one, and they never, ever win, do they?
No, so let's say zero.
I think we can dismiss Joy as she's too bubbly and she's got too much curly hair. So we move on to Laura Moore. Here we go. She reckons she's ballsy and she's like a man. Oh, aye. So has she ever tried to light her own farts whilst falling drunk from a motorway flyover? I don't think so. A man, my arse.
I think she's a robot.
Have you ever tried lighting your own farts?
Yeah, I've lit my own farts a number of times.
I've never succeeded.
How have you not managed to?
Well, to be honest with you, I've never really attempted it.
Right, what you do is, you know women in rude films?
Yes.
You know, in some cases, they sort of lay on the back and present that area to the world?
I know this particular position very well, yes. I've seen it in many films.
Well, do this clothed, by the way, because you don't want to set fire to anything.
What, yeah, but I mean, can't you set fire to your own arse?
Well, you can, but as long as you're wearing denim or a similar trouser garment, I'm sure you'll be fine.
But what happens if it blows black, you know, blows back into your arse and you set fire to your inner organs?
But yeah, your bottom hole is not like a cavernous thing, is it? It's a bit like a rolled up sock, I suppose.
But you could potentially blow your own eyeballs out of your skull.
Well, I tell you what, after we've recorded this, you look that up and see if it's ever happened.
Well, all right then, fair enough. Well, in that case, I give her a zero.
Hello, I am Eros Abbott from the Eros Abbott A Laugh Death Show. I am here to say, listen to what you with the madness, or I will kill you, me, Eros Abbott. Oh my, I love a party with a happy atmosphere. Thank you.
Lovely, so that was Laura. Let's move on to Liz Locke.
Liz Locke, I've written here, she says she's energetic, likes to be pushed, and likes to get her teeth into things. Enough said there, I think.
Well, yeah, it sounds a bit saucy.
She does sound saucy, doesn't she? She's quite a saucy lady, Liz.
I'll give a 9 out of 10.
I'll give a 9 out of 10. I think that's all we need to say about Liz. We move on to Melissa Cohen. Oh, apparently people are scared of her. That's all I've written for that.
She's a bit of a character, Melissa.
She's a bit of a character. I don't see her going very far, to be honest with you. I think she's going to be a bit too quirky for Sir Alan.
Well, you say that, but Sir Alan likes a lady with massive balls.
He does like a lady with balls. He's a bit like one of those businessmen that goes to Thailand that you read about in the news of the world, usually when they're being hounded down the street. But I'm not saying he's one of them, but you know what I mean? He likes a lady with testicles.
No, I was talking about metaphorical bollocks.
So Melissa hasn't got an actual pair of... But I've noticed with The Apprentice that a lot of the women that appear on it do boast about their balls.
Yes, they're being metaphorical, but I suppose you'd be able to tell from the way they're sitting.
Well, yeah, I mean, yeah, usually when there's nothing really there, is there, when a lady's sat down and you're trying not to stare at her lady parts.
Well, they sit down with their legs together, don't they? Whereas we men, we splay.
Oh, no, their balls out, you know, your other thing, your particular, you know, swinging about in the breeze, especially if you're wearing a kilt and, you know, you're getting arrested.
Unless you're cupping your particular in your hand as you light a fart.
Or the alternative is grabbing hold of both your cock and your balls and dipping it into a complete stranger's beer because you happen to be a member of a rugby club.
Or American,
yeah, and you're a frat boy or something like that, yeah. To the fucking arsehole, sorry, you know, to swear here, who decided that my beer was a great resting place for his balls and his bloody penis in about 1999 when I was in the Falcon pub, because him and his bloody rugby mates turned up and started dipping their dicks into everybody's drinks. You're a bloody disgrace, you cabbage-eared bastard. Sorry, I've gone off topic.
Should we move on to the next apprentice candidate?
What do you want to give her, Melissa?
Should
we give her a six?
Let's go. Oh, she's ballsy.
She's got balls.
Six for all six of her massive balls.
Who dips their dick in somebody else's beer, eh?
Melissa.
Right, Paloma Vivanco.
Paloma Vivanco.
You with your lovely brown hair and your exotic accent. I really like you. Not like that, though. The missus is listening. Anyway, she's got a nice voice, looks nice. Nice. That's what I've written.
I agree with you. I think she's very nice. She's Australian, isn't she?
She's a sultry-looking lady. I think she is. She's certainly Antipodean. I can't distinguish between the two accents, personally. I don't know. Is she from New Zealand or is she from Australia?
There's an easy way to solve that conundrum.
You are indeed married to a lady from that neck of the woods, are you not?
I am indeed.
Should we ask her?
She's not about. She says chips. She doesn't say chips.
Right, is that how you distinguish between the New Zealander and the Australian landier?
I don't think it's every time they say the I vowel, but in many cases they say it as an E. So try that in a sentence.
Right, so I really fancy some chips.
Do you fancy some chips?
I fancy some chips.
There you go.
Right, so that means I'm from New Zealand.
Oh, yeah, which is confusing. You sound like you're from up north in England.
I really fancy some chips. Chups. I fancy a chupa chup.
Actually, I quite fancy some chips.
Well, anyway, Paloma Vivanco is lovely. If you're listening, Paloma, you're lovely, and I hope you win The Apprentice, because you're lovely.
10 out of 10.
Oh, she's looking at me suspicious. 10 out of 10. Right, we'll move on quick. Right, here we go. Radley Addington. Radley Addington. I've written here, the token upper class twit. Nobody's called Rally. Nobody.
Well, I don't know. We don't mix in those circles,
do we?
He's
a twerp. He's a burk.
He's quite funny, though, isn't he?
He is quite funny, but he is. Every year, The Apprentice does have to have one token upper class twit. We've already discussed sausages, and I think the most infamous episode of The Apprentice was when, what was his name? He was a former major in the British Army, wasn't he?
I think it might have been Tim, but I could be very wrong.
Well, no, Tim was the idiot who decided to simulate having a big willy off of a trampoline on live television.
Well, in that case, Tim was the black bloke who won it.
Oh, right, OK, well, he could have been called Tim then. Well, let's call him Tim, Major Tim. He went to France, he tried to sell them processed British cheese. That was his first mistake. And he tried to cook sausages off of some kind of tin-stroke candle contraption. He said he'd been taught how to make this in the army. I don't believe that.
Well, this Raleigh chap, he said he likes to keep his enemies close. His enemies close, but his friends closer. Then he gets confused. He just doesn't got a clue.
Yes, because the phrase actually is, I like to keep my friends close, my enemies closer. I think that's probably one of these art of war type jobs, isn't it? Or something Napoleon would say. Not me, you know, the proper Napoleon.
Yeah, I don't think Raleigh's got a chance.
No, I think Raleigh will amuse us, and then he'll get put in charge of a task, and he'll be a blundering Boris Johnson-style buffoon. He'll mess it all up, and he'll get voted out, even though everybody will be a bit sad.
Who's next?
Well, hang on. I'm giving Raleigh a two at best. Would you agree?
He hasn't got a hope. I'll give him a zero.
You're giving him a zero. Well, should we go for a one?
Well, middle ground. I like it.
Middle ground. OK, one. I've put a ring around that. Oh, that looks dirty. Sandish Samra. Here we go. It says she's challenging, which to me means mouthy, bolshy, a bit of a red robbo. I've no truck with the unions, love. Get back to Russia, where you belong.
Is she the one who began her interview talking about ears?
She's the one that began her interview saying she's challenged. No, that she challenges things and she's challenging.
I have a memory of her saying her dad's ears are like Sir Alan's ears.
Yes, you're right. Yes, she did say that her father's ears are the same as Sir Alan's ears. I don't know what that means.
She's not going to get very far with that kind of nonsense.
Your ears, I admit, I mean, you know this as well as I do, don't you? You only have to witness old people to see that they've got ears like great big plates of meat, you know, like great big pork chops attached to the side of their faces.
Well, they never stop heads. Growing, no.
Well, no, exactly. So, I mean, you've seen my ears. Mine are going to be massive, aren't they? When I'm an old man, my ears are going to be, well, they are going to be the biggest thing on my head, even bigger than my head. I'm going to look like the BFG.
When I first met you, and this is when you were pretty much, well, you were a child, weren't you?
I was. I think I was about 12 when I first met you.
I assumed you had fleshy wings.
Coming out the side of my head? I do look like an elephant. I look like a cross between the big friendly giant, an elephant, and Prince Charles. I don't know how we've got onto this.
And a gargoyle.
And the gargoyle and all the rest of it. Yeah, bring him on, bring him on. You know, like I said to you earlier on, you're throwing stones in a very small greenhouse. So what are you doing?
Three.
What's this?
3 out of 10.
Oh, three. Right, fair dues. I got confused with the strange noise.
I'm sorry, that was the builders outside. They're still building a church.
Okay, Shibby Rabati. He's a surgeon. Why is he on The Apprentice? He's a surgeon. We need them more than we need twerps working for a vulgar calculator manufacturer. Shame on you, sir!
Yes, I'm pretty sure that's exactly what Lord Sugar Sir Alan's going to say to him, actually.
I think it is. How long does it take you to become a doctor in Britain? Is it 5 years?
Well, I imagine surgeon's kind of the height of the profession, isn't
it? Let's go through it, shall we? You go to medical college at the age of 18, yes?
Yes.
You then spend 5 years learning how to be a doctor. Then I think you spend 2 years working in a hospital, doing rotations around a hospital, so you learn all the hospital stuff as a... Is it a registrar? No, first off, you're an F1, aren't you? Then you move on to be a registrar. Then you move on to be a senior registrar. And then, I think, you then go for being a consultant. So you're probably looking at, 10 years before you get to be a surgeon. Is that right?
Right.
Does that sound about right to you?
A decade of study sounds about right.
So why is Mr. Shibby Rabati, it would be Mr. because they're not doctors, are they? They're called Mr. in Britain. Why is Mr. Shibby Rabati not being a surgeon? I assume he went through NHS training, therefore he's been paid for by everybody else to be a surgeon. Yes, why is he not being a surgeon?
Well, I think, just to pick you up on an earlier point, I think he is a doctor because he mentions it at the end of his interview. He says the two letters DR at the start of my name, I'll still have that even if I don't get through on this. But I think the main thing is...
So he's not a consultant, he's not a... No, surgeons are misters, they're not doctors.
Well, he did say that he's got doctor before his name.
Well, then he clearly doesn't know his own profession. Once you become a surgeon, you become a mister. You don't stay as a doctor.
Right, well, it's not very interesting, is it?
It's not. Well, anyway, the point is, shame on him, shame on him, shame on him.
Out of 10?
I'll give him a 10.
What?
I'll give him a 10, yeah, he looks like a winner.
Okay, on to the next.
Okay, Stellar English. I've written here, ditzy blonde, probably from Essex, and then in brackets, look up some blonde jokes on Google. Close brackets.
And as I've already said, Stella is not English, it's Belgian. 0 out of 10.
Ah, brilliant. I like that. Finally, nice. The last one, Stuart Baggs. I've written simply, a twit.
Well, he's a twit, isn't he? I mean, he'll be in it till right to the very end because he'll no doubt have enormous comedy potential.
Exactly.
But he's an arsehole.
He's an arsehole. Yeah, if you're listening, Stuart Baggs, you're an arsehole. You're an idiot. What was it he was saying? The person I'm scared of is myself because I'm that great. I make loads of money. I'm not satisfied with not making loads of money. All these people who, you know, just bumble through life earning 40 grand and have a 3 Series BMW on their driveways. Well, I've got more ambition than that because I'm alive, me. And so there's a lot of people in the world that, well, they're not alive anymore, are they? So, you know, I just wake up. I don't sleep, really. When I do sleep, I just dream about working and what I'm going to do next because I'm a go-getter. And then when I do wake up, I just think I'm so pleased I'm alive and there's so many people that are dead. That was the gist of Stuart Baggs's audition, wasn't it?
I think it was actually a bit longer than Stuart Baggs's audition.
Oh, sorry about that. Well, anyway, the man's a Burke. So that's The Apprentice.
0 out of 10 for Bagsy?
0, mate.
I got this hideous diarrhea coming out of my anus. I'd rather be reading a watch with mothers. But I've got this diarrhea. It really needs seem to.
And the final news story of today is Katy Perry boobing with her boobs. The Sesame Street appearance, what she did a week or two ago.
There has been outrage, isn't there? There's been outrage from parents. I think one of them said, to fill people in, Katy Perry appeared on Sesame Street in a low-cut dress where you could clearly see the tops of her boobs. And then lots of people went, what was one of the silly comments? Thanks a lot for bringing forward my son's puberty, Katy Perry, etc.
Yeah, I'm not sure how that would work. It would require growth hormones, surely.
It would, really, yeah. I mean, it usually kicks in when it kicks in, not because you've seen a pair of tits, because quite frankly, if that had happened, I'd have looked like Brian Blessed when I was 7.
Someone else said, you can practically see her tits. That's wonderful children's programming. I think that was sarcastic.
Right. I was going to say that you can't practically see her tits. You can see the tops of her tits. I use the example of, I think, Marie Antoinette or something like that. There's a lot of art books and history books that are freely available for children, which feature lots of buxom, busty ladies with just as much boobage on show as Katy Perry. And it's, well, I never considered it pornographic before or inappropriate for children.
No, I mean, you take kids to the beach and they're bikinis, I mean...
Yeah, it's just the tops of boobs. She didn't have her boobs out. She was... Well, it beggars belief. This entire thing beggars belief. Well, are we now saying that children, who, let's face it, are fed on boobs to begin with...
What, they eat boobs?
Yeah, they eat... They literally try and consume a woman's boobs. So it's not like they're unfamiliar with the whole concept of boobs. Are we now honestly saying that all children should be completely kept away from the tops of boobs just in case it brings on early onset puberty? What about their own mothers? Aren't their own mothers ever walking around with a bit of top boob on show?
Well, you make a good point, Napoleon.
Yes, I'm outraged at their outrage. It's yet another one of these Daily Mail-inspired nonsense stories where they say, oh, this is degrading to children, it's blah, blah, blah. You know what I mean? The usual thing, a lot of people get on Mumsnet and Twitter and the Daily Mail and what have you and start going, this is absolutely disgraceful, what about the children, blah, 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 blah. Sod off.
I think it was all on YouTube. It was just in the comments that Sesame Street, they kind of pulled it themselves because they weren't happy about the comments on YouTube. But if people self-censored based on the comments they got on YouTube, then there would be no creative output in the universe.
No, there wouldn't. You know, this is the point. Stop getting offended about stupid things. There are plenty of things going on in the world, horrible things. Get offended by that. Not by some young woman appearing without her tits out on Sesame Street. That's nothing to be offended by. You know, the tops of boobs are not offensive, unless they're really horrible boobs.
Well, technically the...
Covered in mushrooms.
The only offensive bit of a boob is the nipple, isn't it?
Well, is it, though?
It's massively offensive, the nipple.
Well, I suppose, yeah, I mean, but, you know, it's only offensive if you're of that mind. I don't actually mind the sight of nude people. Because I'm a person myself, and I'm not bothered by nude people. They don't bother me. You know, I don't get offended by an animal. Well, I don't get offended by nature.
Put it this way, right? You're on a beach.
Yep. Right.
You're scanning the beach with a cornetto in your hand on your sun chair.
Well, hold on now. You've brought up the subject of cornetto. Am I allowed to choose my own cornetto?
What flavour would you like?
Well, I like the strawberry ones myself.
Oh, we haven't got any of those, sorry.
Just a one cornetto. What do you mean you haven't got any?
We've got some cornettos. We haven't got that flavour. Any others?
Oh, that's right. Yeah, that's typical, isn't it? And I bet if I'd have said I like the mint ones, you'd have turned around and you'd say, oh, sorry, we haven't got any of those. We haven't got strawberry.
No, we've got a couple of mint ones left.
Right, you've got some mint ones. And what else you got? You've got the chocolate ones, I assume.
We've got the nut ones.
Have you got that new chocolate one, that ridiculous chocolate obscenity, which is just full of chocolate?
Look, mate, I've taken the mint one out now and it's starting
right,
to melt. Are you going to buy
all
this?
Right,
or?
I'll have a mint one. Right, I'll have a mint. Hang on, let me get back to me beach towel. Oh, letting dogs on this beach is a disgrace.
That'll be 60p.
No, I've stolen it.
Right, so you're on your beach towel, on a beach chair. Don't forget that.
I've got dog dirt on my foot.
Right, you're looking around, you're scanning the beach.
Okay, right, I'm there. I'm in Skegness.
No, you're at Hunstanton.
What? Oh, God, Norfolk?
You're scanning the beach, yeah?
I'm scanning the beach, I'm there. I'm making sure I don't ever look at any children.
Seeing what's going on, who's about. There's lots of women in bikinis.
Yes.
But because you're with your missus, your eyes travel straight over them.
Exactly, I don't look at women in bikinis anymore because I am, of course, going out with somebody.
But then...
Yes, what? Carry on.
Are you here?
I'm here.
Right, then...
Well, I'm not here, I'm in Hunstanton eating a cornetto.
There's a woman who's taken her bikini top off and your eyes instantly fix upon her bared boobage because of the nipples. Is that not going to happen?
Yeah, but I'm not going to be offended by it.
No, you won't be offended by it, but it will take your eye more than a bikini boob, won't it?
Well, of course it will, but you were saying that the nipple is offensive. I don't find nipples offensive unless they're horrible nipples.
No, but I'm just saying that the nipple brings on an extra element to the boob, doesn't it?
Oh, it does, yes, because that's then the full boob. If Katy Perry had appeared on Sesame Street next to Elmo or Emo or whatever his bloody name is, the little red one...
Elmo.
Who was in the nude, by the way.
He was also in Brushstrokes.
Yeah, well, regardless of whether he was in Brushstrokes, he was in the nude. Did you notice that, Elmo, in that clip?
He was in the nude, but... Well,
nobody moaned about that, did they?
He's furry, though, isn't he?
Well, so that's neither here nor there. He's still in the nude.
Well, in that
dogs
case,
are in the nude.
Yeah, all dogs are in the nude.
Yeah, all dogs are in the nude. What animals are in the nude? Bears, they're in the nude.
Goats.
Goats, they're in the nude. They're definitely in the nude. Those horrible cats.
Octopuses.
Octopies. Octopussies. Octopussy. She's in the nude.
Mices.
Mice. Rats. Cats. Badgers. Wolves. Lizards. Griffins, dragons, you know what I mean? They're all in the nude.
If you think about it, food's in the nude.
Food's in the nude.
Eggs.
Well, no, hold on, are eggs in the nude?
Yeah.
Surely an egg is in clothing.
What, so the eggshell is clothing?
Yeah, it's clothing. You don't eat the eggshell, do you? You eat the nude egg that's contained within the eggshell.
You make a very good point. The egg is actually the most tasteful of all the foodstuffs, compared to a uncooked chicken, for example.
Compared to an... Yes, I would prefer an egg over an uncooked chicken.
Simply because it's more, it's more proper.
Yeah, and it's got a coat on.
Has it got a coat on?
What, the egg? Yeah, it's got a coat on.
Oh, the egg has, yes, sorry.
Yes, the chicken's not got a coat on. Has it? No, I've never seen a chicken in a coat.
Sorry, yeah, I was picturing a chicken in a bomber jacket there.
What, chicken, what, with the little leather patches on the back?
Yes.
I like them.
I think that went rather well.
If Frank Spencer was an act of onanism upon the particulars of both a male or a female, they can both do it these days, can't they? Especially since the women's livers changed the rules, didn't they?
Yeah, they did.
Yeah, well, if he was one of those on either gender, he would be...
Wank Spencer?
He'd be Wank Spencer. Do you see what I did there?
Yeah, it doesn't... That doesn't work.
It does. That's a joke.
Well, it's not because the lead is so... I think the word is laboured.
Laboured? What, convoluted?
Yes, it goes too far just to make one simple bon mot. Bon mot, or however
right,
you say
is
that.
Is that German?
I believe it's French. So basically, you've gone all around the houses to make one... Very simple play on words.
Right, well, how would you do this?
What do you call Frank Spence? No.
Ah, you see, it's not as easy as you think, is it?
I was watching Some Mothers Do Have 'Em the other day.
Okay, which is, I have to say, is one of the finest programmes I've ever seen.
And the lead character, played by Michael Crawford...
It's Frank Spencer.
...was pleasuring himself.
Right, so you think that this is a better way of saying Wank Spencer? What is a wank if it's Frank Spencer? You think this is a better way of doing it than my way?
Well, you could say, who's the most onanistic member of the cast of Some Others Do Have Them?
Well, it's not Betty, is it? I mean, should we break this down?
Yeah.
Right, you've got Betty. She's not a likely candidate, because I'm sorry, but I don't see Betty as being the sort of dirty character that does that kind of thing.
Well, you never know, do you?
Well, honestly, no. Jessica is really... She's preoccupied with doing whoopsies on the carpet.
Is that the baby?
That's the baby, yeah. Jessica, she's... You know what...
She's not even in the equation.
Well, she's a character.
Right, carry on.
Right, you've got Betty's mother.
Yeah.
Old women don't do that.
They don't do that.
Old women don't do that. So we can rule her out immediately. Yes.
Mm.
You've got a large cast of characters who come and go. They're only there as foils for Frank. So that only leads us to one conclusion. It has to be Frank Spencer. And in that case, what you mean to say is Wank Spencer.
Well,
that's even more long-winded.
Yeah, but for some reason it worked.
Okay, well, yes, I think that's definitely the funniest joke I've heard in the last 5 minutes.
Yeah, I should be telling that down the pub, except I'm not going to the pub, so...
Right, shall we... What, you're going to tell me in the pub?
You live in Sheffield.
Well, yeah, we can go to the pub now, if you like.
What, separately?
Yeah, well, I'm there now.
Oh, right, I see what you're saying. What are you drinking?
I'm feeling a bit peaky today. I think I'll just have myself a lemonade.
Oh, they've got cornettos. Do you want a cornetto?
Well, have they any strawberry ones?
No, they've only got mint choc chip.
Oh, that's right, isn't it? Yeah, because they never have strawberry ones, do they? No, that incredibly unpopular flavour. How are they doing saying cornettos in the pub? Is this one of these all bar ones?
Right, anyway, I heard a joke the other day. Would you like to hear it?
Okay, right, I'm ready. I'm set now. Hold on. Yep, right, go on.
Wank Spencer.
Ah, it's the way you tell them.
Thanks. I better get on, so I'll see you later. Bye.
Right, see you, budgie.
Budgie?
Yeah, you know, your budgie, them small yellow birds.
See you, the man in the mountains. Bye.
See you, your budgie. It's with mothers. It's with mothers.